Hello and welcome to Minor Wrecks. I'm Dave, and we are a podcast out of the Dust Plains Public Library. I'm here with Joel and Jamie and Tony, and today we're here to talk about Acorn TV. Acorn TV is a service connected to RB Digital, which is free if you're a Dust Plains Library patron, or maybe your home library, wherever you are, supplies it as well. But it's a service kind of like Netflix, kind of like Canopy, which we talked about before, which allows you to watch shows, streaming on your devices, on your computers. A lot of British television, a lot of United Kingdom television. There's a couple exceptions here and there, but mostly that's what it's for. Our patrons have actually really seized on this. It's super popular in only about a month or two that we've had it. So what we did is each of us watched a show or two or three and a couple of trailers, and we're here to talk about the type of content that's on Acorn TV. So what did you all watch?
I watched The Detectorists, as in metal detector people.
Okay. Is it fiction or nonfiction?
It's a nonfiction comedy. And it's fairly new. 2014 was season one. It has some notable actors in it. I think the most notable is Mackenzie Crook playing Andy, was a lead role in The British Office. And Toby Jones is also a very well-known actor. Yeah, it's two quirky metal detectorists, and they're part of a metal detecting club in Danesbury. And they, honestly, they spend a lot of time. There's a lot of long shots in anticipation in fields in Danebury where they're just walking and you're hearing the little sound of a metal detector, which is, as you guys probably know from, I don't know, seeing them on film and whatnot, it's a really cool sound, almost like a Geiger counter. But then, you know, the anticipation of waiting, it's like, oh, what'd you find? They rarely find anything very, you know, it's usually a joke what they find, right? It's the punchline, or it's the, oh, another, you know, model toy car. But this is a really good show. It was very surprising. I thought I was going to just watch one episode, but I ended up watching three in just a day or two. And they're half-hour episodes, and there are three series, about six or seven episodes per series. And, yeah, there's a good character drama in there, and then there's a good, like, the relationship between these two guys. It's kind of like a married couple, like, kind of squabbling, but at the same time, they're a team, and they're protecting what they're going to find from, you know, the other group of metal detectorists, the Antiqua Searchers. And the comedy is, some of it's dry in that you're laughing kind of at the awkwardness of certain situations, but it can be lovely at other times. It can be like, there can be very touching moments as well, because it is about these characters and about their romantic relationships. And for example, Lance, who's opposite of Mackenzie Crook, he's the guy who played by Toby Jones. He's kind of like, they always joke about it, but it's like, oh, you're slaving away for your ex-wife again. And it's like, he's actually like unloading boxes into her store. And it's really, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's like, oh no, this isn't that funny. But because they're riffing on this joke over and over again, it's like, oh gosh, yeah, that's pretty bad. And so, yeah, it's really cool in the sense that the things that it's building up towards aren't these big epic things, but they're everyday people things. Like, oh, we have a gig coming up. Oh, you have a gig? No, we're just playing at an open mic. Do you want to come? You know, so very, very cool. Yeah.
Do you feel like people who liked shows like The Office, you know, would like this, maybe like with a quirkier premise, but is it the same kind of humor, do you think?
I think so. I'm a fan of, you know, like The Mighty Boosh, which is a really weird British comedy. I haven't actually seen The British Office, but I would say so because it is everyday scenarios and people's reactions to them, the stresses of every day, you know, what you're being at work, but also like having this other project eating away at you at the other end, like, oh, you know, we're going to go meet with the club after this week and we're all going to talk about buttons or something like that. It's a cool show in that way, because it's like, oftentimes it's like, it's the guy and his girlfriend hanging out and like watching TV and just chatting and chatting about what's on the screen or chatting about or what they're eating and things like that. And so, yeah, I think it does have a lot of like, you're not really sure what you're going to get with any given episode, but it does have that like regular everyday humor.
Is it kind of like a Twitter interest? Kind of, you never know what you're going to get when you're looking at Twitter, and there's always a different direction it could take. So when you're watching the show, it sounds like, you know, taking everyday things and causing new interest in them somehow.
I think so, yeah. Okay. I think so, absolutely. But that brings up a good point, though, too, because with a series like this where they can be like six episodes, they do have some story arcs that begin in the start. Like, they get permission from this very eccentric man who's suspected of killing his wife. And of course, he's like, oh yeah, you can search anywhere. Just don't search near that lot over there. And so, like, an ex-cop who's also a detectorist wants to go and search on that land for obvious reasons. He wants to dig up the cold case and all that. So there's cool arcs that happen like over the course of multiple episodes. And so that knowledge gap, as a viewer, you're enticed to keep watching and figure out what happens. But it's very casually explored. So yeah, I'd highly recommend. I'm going to finish the first season at least and see where it goes. So.
And how long did you say those episodes are?
30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, a piece. So.
And Toby Jones is in that?
Mm-hmm. He's one of the lead roles.
He's in like one out of every three shows on Acorn TV.
And Rachel Sterling plays Mackenzie Crook's girlfriend in it as well. So she's really good.
Okay, well, I'll go next. I watched Loch Ness, or called The Lock, depending on which country you're in, where you're viewing it from. This is a crime drama. I half enjoyed it, half didn't, to tell you the truth, because it's an interesting premise. In the first episode, a group of teenagers make a fake skeleton and leave it on the shore of Loch Ness. And like, haha, we discovered the body of the monster, or whatever. And then it's obviously not. It's parts from a local butcher shop, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then as they're cleaning up, they realize that among the debris, there's a heart, and it's a human heart. Not a cattle heart, not a pig's heart, but a human heart. And they didn't put it there, so someone must have put it there. And, you know, it unfolds from there. Where did this heart come from? And another man dies, and it looks like he fell from was rock climbing and fell, but then he's got wounds on his wrists like he was bound. And so there's a serial killer afoot is what they decide. And, you know, they call in like an officer from Glasgow to investigate this small town outside of Loch Ness. I was interested in it mostly just because I knew it wasn't about the monster. They made that very clear at the beginning. You know, they make jokes about the monster and this and that. And like, you know, there's a couple walking home and they look quietly over the lake and the sun is setting. And the woman says, "What do you think the monster's doing right now?" And, you know, that's about the... Or there's local industry, there's boats that go out and take tourists, and they tell stories about the monster and things like that. But it's really this crime drama. What I didn't like about it is it's 45-minute episodes, and they're a little long because it's, like, overwrought. Like, a character will say something, and another character will respond, and then it's the first character is like a long, slow shot of their face reacting to the response and things like that. Like, can we go? Can we keep this moving? Is what I kept thinking in my head, but it wasn't bad. Like, there's nothing bad about it. If you're into crime dramas, this might be a very good one to watch. But for me personally, it was just a little too slow, which I'm a little famous for. I don't like slow movies. So I didn't like this slow TV show very much. And maybe that's just me. You might like it. It was well acted. It was, you know, well produced. It was all that good stuff. So I certainly don't have a knock against that. But
The preview looked like it had a little bit of a creep factor to it, too. I mean, that's just the preview, but it had, like, it incorporated the water, a lot of underwater shots and stuff like that. So it's, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's going to, I only watched the first episode, but I think that's going to become more of a thing. In the first episode, there's a man talking about buying an underwater drone to look for the monster. Mm-hmm. Surely he'll find some terrible thing beneath the waves, but it's also a lot about the relationships between the people, and I found that a little much. I couldn't keep all the characters straight. The man who fell from the mountain was the piano teacher of one of the teens, I think, that put the body parts. I don't know. Like, why couldn't he just be a corpse? Why did he have to have a backstory is the way I felt about it, especially if it's just a five-minute backstory that they're going to throw away anyway, right? So...
But it's the same mystery for the whole series, right? It's
So the killer, who is the killer? Who is the serial killer? Remains the same. So they'll probably find more corpses along the way. I haven't watched the rest of the episodes, but the presumption is that there's a killer out there, and who is it? So maybe it's one of the characters we've met already. That's why there's so many characters, because it might become a whodunit. Like, was it this woman? Was it that man? Or was it, you know, I'm not really sure. But it wasn't bad. Not for me. But maybe for you. I was hoping, I've actually been to Loch Ness, I've been to Scotland, so I was hoping there'd be a lot more like resonating there, like with the scenery, but it just seemed like any other small town in America or in England or whatever. It didn't really stand out as a marquee destination. It's just, you know, a small town story about a serial killer who happens upon some small town people.
I feel like the landscape played a huge role in the one that I watched, which was Rebecca Martinson. or as they said, Rebecca Martinson, like the very sing-song type of of way, which got stuck in my head. And it's Rebecca with a CK and Martinson with two S's, which tripped me up when I tried to search for it on Acorn TV. My mother had been recommending this TV show for a long time. She was like, it's another Scandi drama about a strong but flawed woman. So she kept texting me to watch it. So I knew that was what I was going to pick. But yeah, like a lot of different Scandinavian dramas, it has this really like bleak atmospheric setting. And especially this one, it's about this high-powered female attorney who works in Stockholm, but is called back to her small hometown in the Arctic Circle, so far, far north, because of a friend that died. And she gets drawn into this death, which people at first think is accidental, and she investigates and finds out, you know, oh, it's not accidental. She was killed. And then she ends up being pulled to stay there for a while. So you really see how this woman, Rebecca, kind of feels out of place in both places. She doesn't really feel at home in Stockholm, in her, like, lawyer life, and she doesn't really feel quite at home in this place where she grew up either. Her parents both died when she was younger. So a lot of the show is based on her emotional, this push and pull between the two places, and that's why the landscapes, the difference between those is so important. Mm-hmm. And just the sun being at its bright at midnight, I was like, oh, she's stumbling home and it's like, you know, 1 a.m. in the morning, but it's so bright outside. Mm-hmm. And I liked the way that the show was structured because it's 8 episodes, each is 45 minutes long, but it has 4 stories. So each storyline or story arc is 2 episodes, so an hour and a half. So it's kind of like movie mm-hmm. length, that each mystery is distinct. So you get a whole conclusion and catharsis at the end of an hour and a half, which was a good amount of time for me. Sometimes I get bored if it's, you know, an 8-10 episode drama, if I'm not really super into that storyline. But sometimes if you only have 45 minutes, it feels like, you know, you can't get enough backstory or enough character history. Mm-hmm. And it's based on the novels by Asa, I'm guessing, A-S-A Larson. So each of the stories was based on one novel, so they packed it into an hour and a half. And what I liked about each of the mysteries is that because it's such a small town, she knows all these different people in different semi-connected ways. So it's not like, you know, a Law and Order episode where these victims have no effect on the lives of the people who are investigating. She really feels and empathizes, and you can see kind of the trauma that it puts her through to have to investigate and be involved in these deaths. And that carries through. That's the kind of the arc that carries through the entire series, is even in the second storyline, we see how the deaths of the first storyline really took a toll on her. She reflects on those names, those characters. So it seems more like a person and not just someone who's investigating something. And the small town police officers are also really interesting characters, too. One of them kind of reminded me of the woman that Frances McDormand played in Fargo. And that was something that she had been compared to, too. And once they said that, I was like, oh, yeah, that definitely makes sense. So you get kind of like these quirkier characters. And even though the landscape is bleak and it's all these different murder stories, it didn't leave me with a sense of desolation the way sometimes like the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo might. Like you see the empathy she feels for other people. You see that the connection she has with her friends, even if not the place specifically. So I think there's multiple ways that you can be invested in it, even if you're not a huge crime person, that I felt like I wasn't planning on watching the whole thing, but I watched the whole thing very quickly, very rapidly.
Good. I kind of feel like that puts a point on why I didn't like mine so much. I didn't feel like my characters were very interesting. Mm. And it sounds like yours very much were. Mm-hmm. Had more emotional beats than mine, which there were emotional beats, but they felt kind of forced once in a while. But then the other half, it feels like they just weren't there. Like, this is the woman who likes curling. This is great. I don't, you know, that doesn't really mean anything to me.
Well, you said you had a lot of characters in the first episode, right? Yeah. Because I feel like this one, she was clearly the main character. Yeah. In a lot of other crime dramas, there might be like 4 or 5 different people we follow. Oh, like the forensic pathologist will follow. Oh, this person does this job. But this one, like, it is 100% her. So maybe that's why they can really delve deep into her backstory and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds similar to the one that I watched. It's entitled Jack Taylor. These shows are 90 minutes long, and there are 3 series, and there are 3 shows in each series. So there's 9 90-minute long episodes, and they're all based on the mystery novels of Ken Bruen, B-R-U-E-N, some of which I've already read. I really enjoyed his books, and full disclosure, I watched Jack Taylor before, like when they're on DVD format, but when I saw he was on Acorn TV, I saw the third series, I'm like, did I watch that? So that's what I watched. Jack Taylor is played by Ian Glen, who played in Game of Thrones. Jorah Mormont.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
He is a character who was kicked out of the police force in Ireland. In Ireland, it's a national police force. It's called An Garda Síochána, or just Garda for short, the Guardians of the Peace. And he was kicked out of it due to alcoholism, and he still has the coat, the overcoat from his job, and he uses that as kind of like a symbol. Like, he refused to give it back. So he's at once a rebel and someone who still has a sense of pride, I guess. And he's now a private investigator. So he kind of works in between law and order, I guess. And there are mysteries and murders that happen, and people come to him and ask him to solve them. And at the same time, he's crashing bars and spouting poetry because he likes to read a lot. He's very literary and also very earthy, and he banters a lot with people, and he's got kind of like the rebel streak, but he is an interesting character. And he's interesting in another form that he wants to do good for people. He investigates these, some of the mysteries he investigates just because he wants to know more and he wants to help in his own way. And he almost ends up soaking in other people's pain. He becomes like, I don't know, he tries to help them by, there's a lot of focus on the grief of parents over like their some of the murder victims. You know, there's a lot of encounters with that, like for instance, or family members, or they all take place in the city of Galway, Ireland, which is 80,000 people. And it's amazing to me that they could make 9 murders in Galway, but it's just like, again, like how, like this place is so evil.
That's like Midsummer Murders, right? Like this small town.
And there's great panoramic shots of Galway. It's a coastal town. It's on the western part of Ireland, and I've actually been there, so I think that's why I connect with it. I was in Ireland for 10 days. 9 of them were in Dublin, and 1 was in Galway. So I enjoyed the Galway. It was just kind of a different experience rather than being in Dublin the whole time. And he has various characters that come in, and like he has a sidekick. He has got a contact in the police force, you know, who gives him files that she's not supposed to and that kind of thing. But it makes it interesting. But he's like the main revolving story. So there's no confusion about who it's about. But the thing is, I didn't think I had watched the third season. But then as I watched the episodes, I'm like, ah, I did watch the third season. So they were both memorable and forgetful at the same time. And it is kind of a bleak show where like he gets a chance for happiness. It'll turn into ash in his mouth. It's but it lifts you up and then brings you down. So you're emotionally invested with it. But at the same point, it kind of goes through the A-team syndrome where like this is the part where this happens. And this is the part where they build the mechanism to help these people. And then they have Hannibal say, I love it when a plan comes. It's the same. You can trademark and like, okay, here's what's coming. It's possible to solve the murders ahead of time because like, oh, she's guilty, even though she doesn't look like...
Because this is the part where they reveal the murderer before they say it's the murderer.
Right, or, you know, like logically, having seen the show before, this is who the murderer will be. And, you know, in a sense, I haven't read all of the novels by Ken Bruen, so I don't know if that's the limitation to it or not, but I would actually recommend it, though. It's well done. The acting is done well. It's somewhat stereotypical characters, but... And it's from the last decade, so they have a new video game, and it's like pixelated VR. You just kind of have to get through that part. I also watched, I've seen another show that's on Acorn TV called Deep Water, and that is terrific. It's another police procedural. It's about a woman who's new on the police force of Sydney, Australia, and there's a murder that rocks the surfing community of Sydney, Australia, and she and an older veteran cop investigate it, and that's 4 episodes long. I don't know how long the episode is. I think there's 90 minutes as well, but to me, that was riveting. I watched it in like 2 days. And that's only because I had to go to work in between. So I enjoyed that a lot because it took me to Australia. I've never been to Australia, but I liked how it was like the day-to-day, you know, this is how Australian law works. Mm-hmm, this is how police are arrest people in Australia. Mm. This is how nightclubs are. This is where how they eat food in Australia. And this is how they surf. Like, I love surfing, so I love the idea of surfing. I've never surfed, but I love surfing stuff, like beach and sand and whatever. So I enjoyed that a lot. I also watched a documentary on Acorn TV. It was entitled Scotch, The Story of Whiskey.
Nice.
There are three episodes. The first episode was 51 minutes. I'm not sure how long the other episodes are because I didn't watch them because I didn't need to. They said all they needed to say in the first 15 minutes. It took you around to the different distilleries in Scotland of, and how they've exported scotch throughout the world and how it's made and the beauty of it. And part of its popularity throughout the world is based on the British Empire. So it's kind of got like a darker history, in my mind, a darker history to it of these people who imposed empire on people. And then, like, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, we like scotch, so we're going to bring it with us. So it expanded all across the globe. But they also brought up an interesting reflection of how liquor reflects where you are geographically. Now, like France will use grapes to distill into brandy. Mexico will use agave. Scotland uses barley. And, of course, bourbon is made with rye and corn. But it's just, it's kind of like a reflection of the different drinks of the different nationalities really kind of literally take from the earth. And you're drinking part of the land. So that was a big theme of that, mostly of scotch. But I thought those are pretty interesting if you're interested in how they make things or the history of normal everyday drinks or, you know, whatever. I would say this is a fun show to watch. And it does have three episodes.
I'm a little envious. All of you described like very strong protagonists or main characters in your show, and mine like didn't really have one. I felt a little left out.
It's like that box of chocolates, and that you got like the you know
the orange cream filled
the orange cream filled one. Yeah,
goodness, someone had to eat it. I guess.
Sorry if you like orange cream.
Right. That's a safe one, though, I think.
I also wanted to point out, I don't know if any of you watched one, but my show, Loch Ness, was an Acorn TV original. It was not previously produced on the BBC. It was original to Acorn, and there's quite a few shows on Acorn.
Yeah, that, Detectorists had it, I think, as well.
Oh,
as an Acorn TV original. Strangely, though, when you Google Detectorists, I think it's made its way to Hulu. And maybe that's because it's on three seasons and started in 2014. I think the most recent season is 2017. It's up to three seasons. So
they do break up their website. When you get into Acorn TV, they do have only on Acorn TV, but that's not the same thing. Well, they do list it
at the top.
On the thing, it says an Acorn TV original.
Yeah, kind of the way Netflix does. It says at the top, Netflix original. It's like the exact same branding.
That's really what kept popping up in my head when I was watching this. This is British Netflix.
Yeah.
And I did watch a fair amount. They have trailers. You can watch trailers for the shows, and I watched a lot of the trailers, including for the Acorn TV original. And to be honest with you, those Acorn TV originals, possibly minus Loch Ness, they look to be the better of all the trailers that I saw, like the better quality. Yeah. So I don't know.
But is it like the British Netflix for Americans? Because I saw Rebecca Martinson in the UK streams on a different platform, not Acorn. I didn't know if Acorn was just an American platform that shows British TV for like Americans. So that's interesting that they're having all these British shows that might be specifically made for this platform or are distributed differently there. My show came out in 2017. I forgot to mention it. But the second season is coming out in 2020, which I thought was very bizarre. And also, again, like maybe a more British thing to do, like Sherlock.
Yeah.
A large gap. And I feel like, well, Game of Thrones had that large gap, but usually American shows.
Yeah, I would say I think Doctor Who had a really long gap this last time too.
Yeah, where they'll like they'll do a series and just call it done, and then if they want to do another series, maybe they wait a year and say, "Hey, let's do another one," or they don't, or whatever. It's a little different where it's like American shows are like, "We got to do another one and another one, and
beat it to death."
Beat it to death when your main star leaves. They're like, "We'll hire someone new. We don't know. We'll keep it going until it doesn't make money."
Or like a slave to the calendar year.
Yeah. Which I think we're kind of moving more away from because of prestige TV and Netflix and stuff. Mm-hmm. We're getting away from those. And I think we've talked about this before, you know, like the 24, 26 episode, mm-hmm. you know, prime time mm-hmm. type stuff.
There are more comedies. They're not all mystery dramas.
Somehow that's what got to us, though.
Right. Yeah. I watched a little bit of trivia, and it's about a trivia team at a local bar.
Mm. Nice.
And it was compelling mm-hmm. for the first 10 minutes that I watched of it. And the episodes are 22 minutes long. And it's dry humor, like The Detectorists. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how serious they get about this sure. trivia in a bar. And everybody's kind of like noticed that tension mm-hmm. that with four people in a group. Mm-hmm. But they take it to another level and somebody gets kicked off the team. And but so there's a little bit more of a spectrum than maybe.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Yeah.
And then, of course, Doc Martin mm-hmm. Is frequently asked for at the library. A place to call home mm-hmm. is probably the most popular thing that people ask for. And it's got Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, mm-hmm. Brokenwood Mysteries, which takes place in New Zealand, yeah. Which looks pretty compelling. The Hour, about a new way to broadcast news in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm. And Acorn TV makes it perfect for binging these type of shows because unlike Hoopla or, you know, platforms like Libby where you check out episode by episode or, you know, ebook by ebook, you can watch whatever you want. You can watch as many episodes as you want.
It does a Netflix thing when you're ending the first episode. It's like the next one starts in 3, 2, 1.
And you're not limited to the 10 checkouts that Hoopla limits you mm-hmm. to. So you're not stuck in the middle of a series, or you can only watch 1.5 series and then you have to wait till next calendar month to mm-hmm. watch the rest of it.
I know the 10 checkouts on Hoopla when a season is 10 episodes, and that's the only thing you can watch for the entire mm-hmm. thing. But here, you just watch them all.
However, you have a few steps to get through to watch Acorn TV.
Yes.
So you have to log in through RB Digital, mm-hmm. and then you have to click on Acorn. You have to check out. You have to mm-hmm. access Acorn TV. Mm-hmm. And another major drawback, for me at least, was I couldn't cast it.
There's no Chromecasting for you?
No, there's no casting on Acorn TV. Mm-hmm. So I had to watch it on my laptop, which is the largest mm-hmm. screen I could get.
I casted mine.
Okay, well, then I'll figure out.
Yeah.
It's not...
There's probably no built-in app, but you can still cast from a browser window, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. A Chrome browser window might still work.
But there's no Roku app, right? Mm-hmm. There's no built-in app that you just load up and access from your TV. You'd have mm-hmm. to load it up on your computer, start the episode on your computer, then cast from your browser to your Chromecast or your TV or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I did for mine.
Okay. Yeah. So it's possible, but it's not easy.
You have to have multiple devices going.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like it would still be playing on your mm-hmm. laptop the whole time, or it would be mm-hmm. processing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't find like an app on its own. There was an Acorn TV app for iPad, but it seemed like it got bad reviews, and it was playing in a browser, so I just loaded it up through.
So why?
I think it was like RB Digital. Yeah, you can watch it in a browser.
And I think it's like a channel on Amazon Prime, too, that you can purchase. I think, if your library doesn't offer it.
Yeah, I found the app on the Fire Stick, mm-hmm. but it didn't hook up with the free access.
Yeah, I think it's different. It's a different service.
It's like RB Digital.
It's not our library offers mm-hmm. it as a free service to patrons, and I don't think the app necessarily connects to that service. Mm-hmm. So if you want to access Acorn TV through Des Plaines, if you're a Des Plaines patron, you know, go to our website. It'll show you how to do it. You can come to the reader services desk. We can help you out if you need help. But it's not as easy as downloading an app and mm-hmm. pushing play. It's a couple more steps, as Joel said, than that.
Mm-hmm. But RB Digital also has the magazines and other items as well.
Mm-hmm. So so having an RB Digital account is good anyway because mm-hmm. there's a lot more there. Mm-hmm. than just Acorn TV. There's like the RB Digital account has access to like great courses and things like that if you're interested in those. You know, it forced me to make an RB Digital account, but now that I've got that account, there's all this other stuff I should be doing.
Mm-hmm. For free.
For free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I didn't like my show, but I'm now I want to go back and watch your three shows. So
right.
Yeah. I'm also giving it a thumbs up, mostly because it's different and free, mm-hmm. and why not watch something different and free? All right, well, that's going to do it for Minor Recs. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Tony. And we'll see you next time.